Lord, we would need more than a day. We'd need more than a year. We'd need more than 1,000 years. We'd need more than 1,000 tongues and 10,000 tongues to sing our great Redeemer's praise. But Lord, we thank You that You have bestowed upon us, simply by Your grace, a new heart that desires to praise You. Lord, we weren't always there. And we didn't get there by our own power, our own devices, or our own will. Lord, we got there because of the abundance of Your grace showered upon us. For by grace You have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. Lord, that's how we got here. And we thank You for Your faithfulness to preserve what You started. We not only, Lord, are here by Your grace, we are sustained by Your grace. We are protected by Your grace. We are energized, refreshed by Your grace. You're the one, Lord, who pulls us out when we're bogged down in discouragement. You're the one, Lord, who opens our eyes to see the bright shining hope at the end of a long road. Yes. You're the one who gives us new strength so that we might mount up with wings as eagles. So we praise You this morning for who You are to us. We ask that by Your Spirit You would open our eyes to see what we have in You this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, that's really what it always comes down to, believe it or not. It always comes down to us being able to see what we have been given. Our spirituality does not come from our own willpower. It doesn't come from our own strength. It's always a response. It's always a response. We love because He first loved us. It's always that way. It's that way in the beginning and how we come to Christ. And it's that way as we move forward in Christ. And so as we become more and more aware of what we've been given in Him, our spiritual life takes on a vibrancy that's not self-powered. It's not self-willed. It's generated by the Holy Spirit. And so naturally, then the evil one wants to block our perception of what we have. Yes, right. What he wants us to do is to have a clouded vision of the riches that are ours in Christ, or a distortion of those riches. And God, of course, always being one step ahead of Him, has placed His Holy Spirit inside of us. And the Scripture says that the Holy Spirit has been placed inside of us so that we might understand. So that we might understand what we have been freely given in Christ. So the Holy Spirit is our tutor, and He helps us to see the riches that are ours day in and day out. And so my job is simply to, by God's grace, pass on to you reminders. That's what I do. Pass on reminders. And we've got a month full of them. This month we're looking at our theme is called Walking with Christ. And all I get to do is talk about how magnificent He is. All I get to do this month is to try to say something that will inspire each one of us to take a second look, a third look, a fourth look, to gaze upon His beauty, to look into His marvelous face until the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. So that's all I get to do this month, is to talk about how wonderful He is and what a privilege. What a privilege, not an obligation. Hear me. Not a duty. Not a compulsory thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a privilege it is to walk with Him. What a privilege it is to follow Him. So walking with Christ is our theme. And this morning's message is titled, Step by Step Towards Amazing. Step by step towards amazing. You know, I have been impressed by how frequently people use the word amazing these days. Have you? Oh, this was just an amazing dessert. Or, boy, this was just an amazing movie. Or you see someone you haven't seen in a long time. You look amazing. We have run it in the ground. Amazing. Everything is amazing. But take it from me. What we're talking about this month is truly, you say it, amazing. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I didn't understand what all of this was about before. I didn't really have a strong grip on it when my parents were faithfully taking me to church. Thank you, Ernest. Thank you, Emma. I didn't really have a grasp on it then. But now I understand how amazing is the grace of God. And I understand how little of it I have really grasped. And how much more there is of what Christ did for us on the cross. That God has placed His Holy Spirit within us to understand that He wants us to have. How much more He wants us to have. I'm getting ahead of myself, so let me dial it back. Step by step towards amazing. Think about all those stars Bill was talking about. Think about those billions of stars. Think about those billions of galaxies. And ask yourself this question. Do you really think that God has taken you as far as He can take you in your journey? Do you really think that where you are right now is all there is, and now all that's left to do is just sit there and coast to a very docile end? There are universes and galaxies, I should say, billions of galaxies of places, spiritually speaking, that the Lord wants to take us to. This is just beginning. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how long you've known the Lord. This is just the beginning. In this wonderful, amazing journey, we haven't even completed mile one. That's a tribute to His greatness, which the Scripture says is unsearchable. So, step by step towards amazing. Our text is from Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 22. Matthew chapter 4, rather, 12 through 22. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, He returned to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Amen. 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 If you're taking notes, and I hope you are this morning, the main idea that I want to convey by exploring this passage of Scripture, the main idea that I want you to take away is this. Jesus is personally invested in my step-by-step journey towards amazement. Jesus is personally invested in my step-by-step journey towards amazement. And I'd like to frame this text with three points. The first is a step with Christ. The second point is a step towards Christ. And the third point is a step for Christ. A step with Christ, a step towards Christ, and a step for Christ. See, in this passage, as we read about Jesus calling his disciples, when Jesus called his disciples to follow him, his prospective disciples to follow him, it was an invitation from him for a personal connection with him. He was inviting them into his life so that they could be with him, it says in Mark. He was inviting them not just to listen to his teachings, not just to attend his lecture series or the Jesus Christ School of Divinity. He was calling them to participate in his life. He called them so that they could be personally with him. And like those first disciples, to become a Christian, when we say yes, we are accepting an invitation from Christ, not merely to follow his teachings, but to participate in the very life of the living Christ. When we say yes, we're not just agreeing to go to church or clean up our act. When we say yes, we are saying yes to his invitation for us to participate in his life. As he is alive today, he is participating us or inviting us to participate in his life. And he wants to participate in our lives. And so he called his disciples that they might be with him. It's a living relationship, not a dead religion, not rules and regulations. It is a living relationship that you have been invited and I have been invited to participate in. Very important. Not rules, not regulations, a living relationship with the living Christ. He wants us to be a part of his life, not as he lived it 2,000 years ago, but his life as he is living it today. Because he is alive. And he is at work. And we've been invited to be a part of his life. When a woman says yes to a man and a man asks a woman, or a man says yes to the woman because she asked him, which happens. You're not asking them to read your books. You're not asking them to listen to your lecture series. You are asking them to participate in your life, thick and thin, short and tall, fat and skinny. Right? Ride or die. So this is what Jesus was inviting. They didn't know it at the time, but he was inviting them to participate in his life. When we become believers, we are being invited into to participate in the very life of the living Christ. So Jesus' discipleship program was for them to walk with him. Come walk with me. Come be with me. It wasn't a set of things I'm going to teach you from a distance and I'm going to go my way and you go your way. No, I want you to be with me, and the discipleship program is going to come from our being together. You're going to see me in all kinds of ways. I'm going to be with you everywhere we go. And that's our discipleship program. So the first point is a step with the Lord. A step with the Lord. Verse 16, it says, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. It all began in God's mind. Long before you and I even came on the scene, you ask yourself the question, where I am now in my journey, where did it begin? Where did it begin? It began long before you were born. It began long before your parents were born. It began long before their parents were born. It began long before your ancestral tree was even a little sprout. Because where you are right now began in the mind of God long before the world was even created. He was thinking of you, and he knew where you were going to be on this date before the world even began. Before the world was born, he was thinking of you. Before he formed you in the womb, he knew you. And he chose an appointed time when you would see a great light. He is that great light. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. If Jesus is more than a theory to you, if Jesus is more than a concept to you, if Jesus is more than a religious icon to you, if Jesus is a personal friend to you, if he is a savior to you, if he is, as we sing, your everything, it is because one day you saw a great light. That great light appeared before you and introduced himself to you by name, Jesus Christ. I was telling my family yesterday how I became a Christian because I was on a soul search. My soul was empty, and I was looking for something to fill it. And I realized that what I had was not enough. And I knew that more of what I had would not be enough. I knew it wouldn't happen if I had another girl. I knew it wouldn't happen if I had more money. I knew it wouldn't happen if I had a better career. My soul was empty and I was hungry for something more. I was hungry for something that I couldn't get myself. And I knew I couldn't get it myself because it wasn't material. And I knew it wasn't material. I was 22, but a great light told me, you can't get it materially. And that sent me on a search. I didn't know it was the great light because he had his eye on me before I was born. He knew where Frenchie was going to be, even when Frenchie didn't know where he was. So he put that yearning in my heart, that discernment in my heart that I can't get no satisfaction from nothing that I can get. I got to get it from someplace, but I can't get it myself. So where do I get it? And it sent me on a spiritual search. It didn't send me back to church, let me say. It sent me on a spiritual search. And that spiritual search sent me into some crazy places. Some weird, wild places. It sent me into the occult. It sent me into places that were off limits, according to the scripture, dangerous places. I could have been swept away. You never have heard or seen me again. But the great light was guarding my steps and watching out for me. Because I was like a little infant on the doorstep. Anybody could have picked me up. But praise the Lord. The people living in darkness, Dan Beatty, living in darkness, stumbling around, didn't know where he was going or what was happening, didn't know how to satisfy that hunger and that soul thirst. This is my story. This is my song. This is what happened. But it started in the mind of God long before I showed up on this little blue ball called Earth. You did not wait for me to cry out to you. But you let me hear your voice calling me. See, he had been calling all along, right? But he let me hear his voice calling me. You see, that's how it works. See, he had this thing going long before we even called. We didn't have a clue. We were absolutely clueless. By your Spirit, Lord, you've given me, he's given us a supernatural, a door into the supernatural hidden realm and access to him. He's given us, by his grace, a door to the unseen world. He lives in us. Wherever we go, and he promises never to leave us and never to forsake us. A step with him. Every day you get up, you're taking a step with him because he's with you and he's in you. And he's promised to never leave you or forsake you. And how you feel day to day, your energy level, your focus, your desire, your spiritual sensitivity, all of that has nothing to do with the fact that he's with you. Because, see, that's going to fluctuate from day to day. You eat a bit of potato or something, and you have indigestion, have a long night, have a bad day at work, have a headache. Anything can influence the way we might feel. Anything can influence our disposition. Don't be fooled. Just because you wake up some days feeling like you ain't so close to the Lord, that has nothing to do with it. He is close to you. Don't let the evil one deceive you into thinking that something has shifted because you're feeling a funny kind of way. I'm never going to leave you, and I'm never going to forsake you, and it doesn't matter whether you have a quiver in your liver. It doesn't matter whether or not you have a shimmy in your shake. It doesn't matter what is going on with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Every day you get up, you see, every day you get up, you're taking a step with me because I'm in you. And where you go, I go. We go together because I'm participating in your life and you're participating in my life, and we have become one. We have become fused together by my Spirit who came to live inside of you. A step with the Lord. See, this is the first step towards amazing. You see, it's a step realizing that every step I take, he takes with me. When I sit down, he sits. When I lie down, he lies down. When I have a headache, he's still there. When I don't want to be bothered, he's still there. When I can't stand myself, he's still there. When I am more disappointed in me than anybody else could be disappointed in me, he's still there. That's amazing. Because there ain't many people that will make that commitment. Right? People who love you most, just stay there for a while. I will love you for at a distance. I will love you right where you are. Just stay there. You see, a step towards amazing is knowing that I take a step, he takes a step. He is with me wherever I go. When I take my walks in the morning, I'm in the crowd, the cars are buzzing by and blowing horns, and one guy is behind another guy blowing his horn and giving him gestures that are not, "Hi, brother." You know, I mean, I say, thank you, Lord, that you're with me right here and right now, and I don't have to be off in a holy garden somewhere. You see, I don't have to be off into some sanctified, quiet place in order for you to be with me. See, it's amazing, wherever I am, there you are with me. And that's how it's going to be. When I think about this amazing thing, I ask myself, Lord, what is to become of me? What is to become of me? It can't get any better than this, but it does get better. That's the thing. It does get better. As my sister was saying, you know, you're full, but you get fuller. I don't know how you can get fuller. Once you're full, you're full. But I understood what she meant. You get full, but you get fuller. And you get fuller and fuller and fuller because he's with you. A step with you. Number two, a step towards the Lord. Number one is a step with the Lord. Number two is a step towards the Lord. He said in verse 19, come, follow me. Come, follow me. And again, from the beginning, Jesus made it clear that his involvement with his disciples was going to be an everyday thing. An everyday thing. He was going to be involved with their lives personally, and he was going to be involved with their lives continually. And he made that clear from the jump. And again, Mark 3:14, he appointed 12, designating them apostles that they might be with him. See, every day with the disciples as they walked with Jesus, every day wasn't filled with obvious miracles. Jesus didn't feed the 5,000 every day. He didn't raise the dead every day. There were some quiet days. There were some days when not a whole lot was going on. There was a lot of days when it was just walking. Are we there yet? There were some days where, you know, nothing was shaking. There wasn't some great teaching coming that day. Because they were with each other all the time. But every day had the potential for miracles. You see, that's what kept them on the edge of their seat. Because every day might not have been a miracle, but every day had the, what's he going to do today? Yeah. Nothing might have happened for a day, a week, a month. But that potential kept them on the edge of their, life was crackling with anticipation. What's going to go on? What's going to happen? This is what the Lord wants in our lives, for our lives every day to crackle with anticipation. Everything shimmers a little bit. You say, what's that? See, they were filled with a sense of wonder as they walked with him, because there was the potential that something big, something life-changing, something unexpected, even a small thing, like a little lesson about a fig tree, or something that would change the way they think about stuff, could happen. Which is why I wrote this piece, and some of you read it. It was, I don't know if whether it was Monday Morning Boost or the Friday thing, but I wrote this piece, and I want to read it to you, and I want you to imagine it with me. Imagine walking along cobbled streets. Imagine walking along cobbled streets to an open market of fresh produce, fresh meat, fresh bread, fresh flowers. There's just something about freshness that makes it more satisfying than processed foods. In a similar way, the Lord waits to meet us each day at the market of his loving kindnesses, which are, according to the scriptures, new every morning. Fresh every morning. And he waits there to supply us with fresh inspiration, fresh encouragement, fresh instruction, fresh gratitude, which contain no harmful chemicals or artificial preservatives. We don't have to settle for canned spirituality. See, his freshness market is open at all times. You see, I wouldn't want it any other way than to have to trust the Lord for my daily bread. Because, you see, I know it's going to be fresh when it comes. You see, I don't want to settle for a prefabricated kind of dead spirituality. I want contact with the living Christ. In whatever measure you want to give it, Lord. You see, whatever measure you want to give it, because I know that in whatever measure you give it, it is based on your mindfulness of me. You see, I'm not going to insist that you fill up my basket, because I may not need a full basket. I just may need a piece of bread. But could I have a little dip with it, Lord? You know, just put a little sauce on it. Something. I can ask. But I'm going to thank you for the proportions that are my daily bread. Because I know it's fresh and I know it's sufficient. Because your grace is sufficient for me. So if all I get out of it is a swig, if all I get out of it is a morsel, thank you for this morsel. Because you can do a lot with morsels. You've shown me this in your scripture. My day begins every day. Lord, the best thing about today is I get to live it with you. You are my supreme blessing. There are other blessings that I thank you for and I enjoy, but you are my supreme blessing. There is nothing better that's going to happen to me today than your presence with me. Paul's prayers for the believers, we see this in the book of Ephesians and other places where Paul prayed for the believers. And you know, one of my favorites is where he prays that they would know this love that surpasses knowledge. But his prayer in general for the believers that he was involved in was that they would not just be treading water until Jesus comes back. Is he back yet? but that they would be exploring the depths of who Jesus Christ is and filled with wonder at his magnificence, exploring those hidden underwater caverns, so to speak. The Lord is saying to us, let me escort you into another level of the wonders of my unsearchable greatness as we walk together. Let me take you, Michelle, to another level of my unsearchable greatness. Thirdly, a step for the Lord. And I will make you fishers of men. And I will make you fishers of men. Where you are today is no surprise to the Lord. When the Lord said to the disciples, I will make you fishers of men, he knew what he was working with. He knew who he was talking to. He knew what their underbelly looked like. He knew what their dark side was all about. He knew what they were capable of. He knew where they would be strong and where they would be weak. He knew their tendencies. He knew their tricks. And when he asked them questions and they were too afraid to tell him what they were talking about, he said, well, what were you guys talking about in the boat? None of them said anything. He knew. He didn't really need them to tell him so he could hear. He knew what they were. That's why he asked the question. It's like parents, right? You know what they were doing. So when you ask, what were you doing? You already know. So when Jesus approached these fishermen and said, I will make you fishers of men, he knew what he was dealing with. When he called you and me into fellowship with him, he knew what he was getting. He knew everything about us. Again, we existed in his mind before the world even began. He saw our tricks before we even had a body. In Bible study, we were studying the text in Mark where after Peter denied the Lord, it says that after Jesus told him he was going to deny him and Peter insisted that he would not, when Peter finally did, it says he broke down and wept. And our Bible study question was, what do you suppose Jesus would have said to Peter if Jesus had been there with Peter at the time and not in custody? What would Jesus have said to Peter as Peter wept, broken down in shame, disgusted with himself? One of the answers was, well, I think he would just love on Peter. Another answer was, I think that he would say, I forgive you. And another answer by our esteemed Brian Davis was, told you. No. No. Takes always one in Bible study. But the general consensus was that the Lord would embrace Peter and reassure him Because Peter, what you said didn't surprise me. Remember, I told you that before the cock crowed, you were going to do this. And remember, Peter, when I first called you and you were afraid? And you said, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Remember what I said to you then? I said, don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to be catching men. That's what I said to you, Peter. And I said that because I knew what was in you. I didn't say, you know, you don't have any problems, Peter. I said, don't be afraid of them. I knew you had problems. I knew what your potential was. I knew what your potential for good is and your potential for evil. And I know both of those things. And I chose you. And I said, you're going to be a fisher of men because I'm going to make you that. You're not going to make yourself that. You see, you can't make yourself that, but I can. So you follow me. You hang out with me is what he's saying. Again, remember when he said follow me, it wasn't just follow my precepts. You hang out with me, Peter. This is very important. Very important. Follow me. Hang out with me. And I will make you fishers of men. See, the more you hang out with me, the more of me will rub off on you. The more you get to know me, the more of my values you will share. And you see, it won't be you having to gut it out. You hang out with me, and I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, I stand here by the grace of the living God. Not because I worked myself here, but you hang out with Jesus long enough, and you begin to see how amazing he is, and you want more of who he is. And you see what he can do. You see what he can do. He says, I'm going to give you a new song. I'm going to give you a new story to tell. And it's not a fairy tale. It's a real life tale. I'm going to take all of the parts of your life, the good, the bad, the ugly, the ups and downs. See, I'm going to take all of that, Peter, not just the part you want me to see, not just the glamour. I'm going to take all of that, and I'm going to forge it into an amazing story. And that's what he's doing with us. He's taking all the parts of us, and it's a story of that comes from real life. I'm going to end with this. You know, because processing the pleasures of life, that's easy. It's easy to praise the Lord when joys are flowing like a river, when blessings the kind that we like. You see, the Lord is blessing me right now, right? But I don't like all of the blessings, right? Some of the blessings I like more than others. The blessings of adversity, I don't like those blessings so much. We'll put them in a special category. But the blessings of pleasure, the blessings of ease, the blessing of comfort, the blessings of being able to accomplish my goals, the blessings of being able to get to where I want to be in life, the blessing of being able to get rid of the stuff in my life that I don't like, whether that stuff is circumstantial or whether that stuff is character-wise, whether it's coming from without or from within, those things I like the ones that feel good. And I don't like the ones that don't feel good. But I was recently encouraged by the reminder that despite Paul's impressive spiritual exploits that are so well documented in the scriptures and we read about them, he was not a superhuman. Thank you, Lord, that Paul was not a superhuman. He wrote, I have suffered the loss of all things in Philippians 3. I have suffered the loss of all things, which means he actually felt those losses. He wasn't so spiritual that somehow he lived above the human pain and above the sorrow of losing friends or material possessions or social status or financial security, even his physical comfort and freedom. He wasn't above the fray. He didn't walk wistfully and blissfully through adversity. He felt and suffered the loss of things. And in fact, Jesus himself felt the excruciating pain of letting go of all things. All the things that Jesus chose to give up, he felt the excruciating pain of letting those go to the point of being overwhelmed with sorrow, the scripture says. The miracle and the charm of looking at the life of the Apostle Paul and looking at the example of Jesus and looking at the example of so many other brothers and sisters in Christ who have suffered through. The miracle is not that they avoided suffering. It's the fact that God was big enough to them to be worth it to them. That's the miracle. That God was somehow had become glorious enough, grand enough, big enough, magnificent enough, not a tiny little concept, but God had become big enough and magnificent enough to make going through all of that worth it to them. He was able to shine brighter than the darkness. His warmth was greater than the coldness. His joy was sweeter than the sorrow. His power was made perfect in their weaknesses, the scripture says. So the glorious statement of their lives and the lives of countless others who've gone ahead of us in Christ is God's magnificence is strong enough to draw us forward step by step through the difficulties and challenges of life to a place of security, confidence, and supernatural power in him. And the astonishing thing is this. For those of us who look at awe with the Apostle Paul, or we look at awe at the Apostle Paul, or we look with awe at Jesus, or we look at awe with these spiritual giants that we see listed in the scripture, we look at awe and we wish that we could be like them. We wish that one day we could be that resolute. The astonishing thing is that we need to be freshly encouraged to just look behind. Just look behind at the bridges that you've already crossed. Take a look back at the bridges you've already crossed. The God who inspired Paul, the God who inspired Jesus, is the same one who carried us from back there to here. And he's the same one who's going to carry us from here to there, wherever there may be. But he does it one step at a time. One step. A step with him. A step towards him, towards the more of him, and a step for him. He's using us for his purposes with him. A step with him, a step towards him, and a step for him. I'm done.